Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible.
And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with Herodias and John as we pick up in Mark chapter 6, verse 16. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
Herod Antipas was the ruler over a portion of the kingdom that his father Herod the Great had ruled over the area up in the Galilee region. Now, Herod Antipas went to Rome and visited his brother, half-brother, Herod Philip. Now, Herod Philip and Herodias, his niece, had a daughter that they named Salome. And Herod Antipas, when he was in Rome visiting his brother, fell in love with Herodias, his brother's wife, who was also his niece, and talked her into leaving his brother, her husband, and marry him and return and reign with him in Galilee. Now, John the Baptist was a straight shooter. And John the Baptist spoke out against this unlawful action by Herod Antipas. And so we read, "For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife." Now Herod, he liked to listen to John, though he didn't obey, he liked to listen to this guy. He was fascinated by John. But Herodias had it in for him. She was a very ambitious woman, scheming. Finally, she talked Herod Antipas to go to Rome, and they both of them went to Rome together, to ask the emperor to give him the title of king. The emperor of Rome, rather than giving him the title of king, banished him to Gaul. And that's the end of Herod Antipas and the history of him. But at this point, Herodias was really upset because John had spoken out against their marriage, saying, "It isn't lawful for you to have your brother's wife." Therefore, Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him. So angry, she would have killed him in the quarrel. John was just, laying it on straight to her, and they were quarreling. She became angry, and had she been able to, she would have killed him. She was so angry with him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and holy, and he listened to him. And when he had heard him, he did many things, and he heard him gladly. He liked listening. It was sort of a strange kind of a thing where, a person likes to hear you, but yet they don't follow it. Now, when a convenient day was come that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords and high captains and those chief men of Galilee, and when the daughters of this said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod, and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, "Ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it to thee." Now, the solo dances by women in those days were very sensual and usually done only by prostitutes. And of course, the whole purpose was the inflaming of the passions. And that Herodias would allow her daughter to perform such a dance before these men, show of what low moral character she was. She was a woman without morals, allowing her daughter to go before these men with this sensual dance. Herod, being aroused by the dance, pleased, he said unto her, "Ask me whatever you want, and I will give it to you." I swear that whatever you ask of me, I will give to you, even to the half of my kingdom. Must have been quite a dance. And she went forth to her mother and said, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. And so she came in immediately with haste to the king, and she asked, saying, I will that you give me immediately in a charger the head of John the Baptist. And the king was exceeding sorry. Yet for his oath's sake, and for the sakes of those that sat with him, he would not reject her. He had put himself in a corner, and because of the oath and, you know, the fact that it was done in front of these fellows, he couldn't back down. Pride wouldn't let him. And so he did that unlawful, murderous thing, adding sin to sin, compounding the situation. He had John the Baptist beheaded and the head brought to her. And he gave it to the damsel, and she took it to her mother. And when the disciples heard of it, they came and took up the corpse and buried it. Now Herod, no doubt, had a guilty conscience over this that lasted. So later on, when he heard the fame of Jesus, heard the miracles that Jesus, he heard of him, there's a fellow there doing all kinds of miracles. He said, it's John the Baptist, he's come back from the dead. It was a haunting guilt of his deed. He couldn't get John out of his mind. Perhaps he was even comforted by the thought that it must be John the Baptist come back from the dead, because he knew that what he had done was wrong. Now the apostles, and that's the end of that particular segment of the story. Now we come back. Meanwhile, back at the ranch. Jesus had sent his apostles out to minister, and now they come back from this preaching mission. And they gathered themselves together unto Jesus, and they told him all of the things, both what they had done and what they had taught. They were sharing with him the marvelous meetings, the conversions, the healings, the power, the glory of their experience of going out in his name and preaching his gospel. And having received their reports, he said, come, ye yourselves, apart into a deserted area, and let's rest a while. For there were so many people who were coming and going that they did not have any leisure time, not even enough time to sit down and eat. Now, they had enough time to eat, that is, grab something as you're going by the table. But in those days, eating was a big ceremony. You know, you sat down, you really made a big deal out of eating. And they didn't have any time for that. They were being too pressured by the crowd. So Jesus, seeing the pressure, the weariness, invited them to go over to the other side of the lake, where it was more of a deserted area, that they might just rest. Probably sounded great to the disciples, and they departed into this deserted area by ship privately. But the people saw them departing, and many knew him. They knew who it was. And so they ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and they outwent them. Now, Capernaum is at the northern end of the Sea of Galilee. It's only about 6 miles wide. You can see all the way across the sea. And so it was easy for them to watch the direction the little boat was going. And so they just ran around the upper end of the island. And as they passed through Bethsaida, Chorazin, and those cities, people no doubt questioned them where they were going. Where, you know, you see someone running, you think, well, what's going on? You see a group of people running, you say, hey, what's happening? Oh, Jesus is, you know, going to be landing over here on the other side. Oh, all right, you know. And so big group of people joined them out of each of the cities. Until finally, when Jesus landed with his disciples, there were at least 5,000 men beside the women and children that were waiting for the little boat to dock. At this point, I can imagine that the disciples were rather irritated with the inconsiderate nature of the people. You know, don't you realize that we're needing rest? We want rest. We need to get away. We want to relax. And you're tired, easy to get irritated, and I'm sure that the disciples were irritated with this crowd. But Jesus was moved with compassion toward them. Rather than being irritated, it touched him, touched his heart. Oh, these blessed people, so hungry for God, a real experience with God. And he was moved with compassion because he looked at them in an entirely different light. Whereas the disciples were perhaps looking at them as a nuisance, Jesus saw them as poor little sheep without a shepherd. They don't know where they're going. They're lost. They have no defense. And he saw them as sheep without a shepherd, and because he had the heart of a shepherd, it touched him, it moved him. And so he began to teach the people. Now, when the day was far spent, getting evening, his disciples came unto him with a problem. They said, "Look, this is a deserted area. It's getting late, Lord. You better send these people away that they may go into the country round about here and into the villages and buy themselves some bread, for they don't have anything to eat." And Jesus said, "Well, give them something to eat." And they said, "What do you mean? Do you want us to go into town and try and buy $5,000 worth of bread so we can feed these people?" Jesus said, "Well, how much bread do you have? Go out and check." So they went out and checked, and they came back, and they said, "Well, there's a little kid here that has 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's all we've got." Jesus said, "Well, have them all sit down in company." So they sat them down in groups of 50 and 100. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, and he blessed and broke the loaves. And he gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish he also divided among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. That particular Greek word translated filled would be better translated glutted. Literally translated glutted. They all ate and were glutted. I mean, they ate until they couldn't eat anymore. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fish. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. So the first of the 2 recorded incidences where Jesus miraculously fed the multitude with just a few loaves of bread. Here, 5,000 men beside women and children, probably 10 to 15,000 people being fed by 5 little sandwich loaves and 2 little fish. But then collecting, that's the interesting thing, collecting 12 baskets full of the fragments after everyone was glutted. And immediately he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. A busy day. You try to escape for rest. You arrive on the shore and there's 10,000 people waiting for you. And so you give of yourself until it's late in the evening. And then you perform the miracle. Now you must really be ready for that rest. He ordered his disciples to get in the ship and to head back over to the other side, passing by Bethsaida. Get on over. While he himself sent away the multitude of people, but then you need rest. And how did he find his rest? He departed into a mountain to pray. He found strength always through prayer. It was a place of rest and a place of strengthening. Oh, that we would learn the strength of prayer. Again, one of the greatest encouragements to pray, or the greatest display of our need for prayer, is the fact that Jesus prayed. Now, if he felt prayer was such an essential part of his own life, being who he was, how much more essential is prayer to us? If he felt that he could not get along without it, how in the world do you think you can get by without it? Prayer surely is one of the most neglected spiritual functions in the body of Christ. It's something that you need to seriously consider. I am certain that the world would be much better off today if there were more people praying. Our lives would be much better off if we prayed more. God help us. There is tremendous power that has been made available to each of us, but we must take advantage of it through prayer. Now, when the even was come, it was now night. The ship was in the midst of the sea, and he was alone on the land. He saw them toiling in rowing. I told you the Sea of Galilee is not very wide at that point. It is possible that it was a full moon night. If so, on a full moon, you can see again across the sea and everything that's on the sea. That full moon is so bright over there, you can't believe it. And you could see them as the moon, of course, was reflecting across the water. A wind had come up and it was against them, but they were rowing. Now, I like this, because they were in this position because Jesus had commanded them to get in the ship and go. Obeying the command of Christ, they were actually being put in a position of strain. You who think that by following the will of the Lord, everything is going to be just so rosy, peaches and cream, you got another thing coming. Jesus ordered them to go across the sea against the wind, against the storm. He put them in this position of toil and strain, and they were already weary and tired. But I love their dogged obedience. Now, it would have been a lot easier for them to just turn the boat around and row with the thing on back, you know. Why try and fight this, you know? Because you're rowing and you're not going anywhere, you know. Here's the candlelight of Bethsaida off to the right side, or, you know, I guess if you're rowing backwards, it'd be off to your left side. But, you know, you're rowing, and the lights are still the same place after an hour. Oh, no, you know. But Jesus told us to go, you know. And they were in this condition because they were obeying the command of the Lord. I love it. And the Lord sat there watching them. He saw them toiling in rowing. The wind was contrary. Now, it was about the fourth watch of the night. I mean, he let them really go at it for a while, because the fourth watch of the night begins at 3 o'clock in the morning. The fourth watch is from 3 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock in the morning. So, I mean, these guys had really been going at it. And Jesus just sitting there watching them. Lord, it's not fair. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea and acted like he was just going to walk right past them. Someone asked me if I thought that Jesus ever laughed. I think he has a tremendous sense of humor. You know, they're toiling, they're rowing and all. And he comes walking across the sea and, you know, just like he doesn't see him, like he's walking right past him, you know. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it's got to be a ghost. And they started crying out in fear. For they all saw him and they were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and he said unto them, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Don't be afraid." And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were very amazed in themselves beyond measure, and they wondered. For they really didn't consider the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 with just the 5 loaves and 2 fish. For their hearts were hard, and it was just, you know, they saw it, but they didn't.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Mark on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Mark 6 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you through the power of His love, through Jesus Christ. And may you this week be obedient unto the voice of God as He calls to your heart for that work that He would have you to accomplish for His glory. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
The Word for Today has published a New Testament designed for an unbeliever or a new believer, just as much as it is for a Bible teacher. Highlights include Pastor Chuck's commentaries that get right to the point on Scripture passages, Words of Christ in Red for easy reading, an A through Z topical scripture index covering over 250 topics relevant to life application, and a section that answers frequently asked questions such as, is there evidence of Christ's resurrection? And what's God's will for my life? So if you're looking for a Bible to give to a friend, or if you're a ministry that's been searching for a simple New Testament that does most of the teaching for you, then you'll enjoy the Word for Today New Testament with Pastor Chuck's commentary notes. To order, please call the Word for Today at 800-272-9673. Or to read a preview, visit thewordfortoday.org.